the instruments have to be trained in such a manner that at the right time, the right action proceeds.
It is like
a good writer who does not keep a good fountain pen, and when he starts writing, there is no ink in it, or the nib is very weak and cannot take the flow. A karma yogin is one who keeps all his instruments in perfect order. If he is an orator, he keeps his throat perfectly well, his language perfectly articulate, his sense of emphasis falling at the right point, at the right moment, in the right manner. These are his instruments, and his instruments must be perfected. All his exercise he has to do, so that when the Divine finds in you the instrument must be perfect. Now, this is perhaps the most difficult part of Karma Yoga. As compared to this process, the other two are simpler, although they also are sufficiently difficult. But this is the most difficult. There are so many instruments, so many elements in us. In fact, this aspect is dealt with by in the Gita, in the last six chapters of the Gita. The last six chapters of the Gita are not sufficiently understood, even by great learned people, as to what is the significance of these last six chapters. In the last six chapters, Sri Krishna says in detail what are the instruments of action, what are the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas, which are moving in action. What are the different kinds of the states of mind in sattva, rajas and tamas? What are the different kinds of efforts, sattva, rajas and tamas? What are the kinds of shraddha, the faith? Again, sattva, rajas, tamas. What is tapasya? Again, sattva, rajas, tamas. What is dana? Again, sattva, rajas, tamas. What is the yajna, which is sattva, rajas, tamas? He describes in detail so that the whole instrumentality, all the elements in the instruments are analyzed. Very briefly, you might almost say, what is this repetition all the time? In everything Sri Krishna says, sattva is this, rajas is this, tamas is this. But why this? Because in every aspect, our instrument should be so perfected. You must know that this is tamas, this is rajas, this is sattva. And then you can know that even sattva is not the highest. And Sri Krishna speaks of Trigunatita. You should be able to go beyond the three gunas. It is only when you perfect your sattva consciousness that you can go beyond. And then in that state, your instruments are so perfected that the Divine will go straight like a shot, without any obstruction. These last six chapters therefore culminate, in fact, they cannot be obtained, this whole thing cannot be obtained unless jnana, karma, bhakti, all are united. But united for what purpose? For the sake of action. The whole emphasis on the Bhagavad Gita is, action is better than inaction. And you should never allow inaction. That is the basic emphasis. And therefore, when you unite karma, bhakti, jnana, whatever their respective boons and their results, all of them have to be utilized so that ultimately the Divine's will manifests. The one sentence that Sri Krishna had told Arjuna at the beginning, why are you gripped by this depression? Stand up and fight. This is the basic proposition. But fight divinely. Stand up like a divine warrior, not like a feeble, coward individual who wants to run away, whose mind is confused, who is egoistic, calculating this, calculating that. Not like that. Be a warrior, but a divine warrior, and fight vigorously like an instrument, such an instrument that you don't fight at all. It is the divine who fights. It is the divine who shoots, not you. This is the perfection. So karma yoga, now we can conclude again, has three aspects. The object is to be able to manifest the divine action. That is the object. The instrument is the will. But since this karma yoga is an integral yoga, the will is combined with knowledge and emotion, but with a greater emphasis upon will. And the method is first purification of the will, concentration of the will, renunciation of the right time. This is the minimum. In the second stage, the knowledge of what is the karma, akarma, vikarma. Then endurance, by which a true equality is achieved in enduring everything. Secondly, knowledge of eventology, that in all events there is a divine will, that knowledge, so that you become equal by luminous knowledge. You know, it's not really Shraddha or trust that everything is in the hands of God. You really know. And then resign. You are able to go to the chamber of God, offer everything, and say to the Divine, you act. And really yourself not act. Or even if you act, you say to the Divine, I am only acting because I am obliged to act. This is my habit. But please give me failure if it is not according to your will. Give success to it if it is your will. Or do something else which I am not even thinking of. All is welcome if it comes from you. This is the second process, middle process. And the highest process is perfection of all instruments in such a manner that ultimately you are able to transcend even the sattva in every movement, every fiber of the being. And ultimately the divine's will can manifest trigunadita. The action of the divine is neither sattvic, nor rajasic, nor tamasic. The divine action is another quality altogether. It is Satchidananda. There is neither sattva, rajas, tamas. It is Satchidananda. There is a pure being, pure consciousness, pure will, pure delight. It is that action should be able to manifest itself to you. This is the highest karma yoga as given in the Gita. I am speaking out all this in greater length because the trend of the argument, even while doing the second chapter, we should know towards what the whole argument is moving. Therefore, I brought even the last six chapters, even at this stage, so that we know that ultimately Sri Krishna is preparing Arjuna for that culmination. It is little by little, because Sri Krishna is a good teacher who doesn't pour everything at one stage, but little by little he reveals, so that he is prepared for the final secrets.